Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
All right, we're talking football with the professor, John Clayton. You guys know the drill. If you've got questions for John, text him in right now to 710-710. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
Since we're doing football now, should we ask John about the Mariners?
Yeah.
People were like, man, oh, you're going to talk about the Mariners? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Did you watch the game last night, John?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, just absolutely incredible to have that kind of a comeback. And
you stuck with it? You didn't bail after they were down 7-0 early in the game?
Well, I was telling Pat to, let's watch something else. And so, we switched off. And, because what happens is Pat always, because, we're both Jeopardy people like Dave.
Was it LeVar Burton last night?
Yeah, LeVar Burton did a nice job last night. And so, but what we ended up doing is, of course, when it was down 8-0 or whatever it was, is that, so we catch up on it because, again, we'll wait to the end of the show so we can zip through it as fast as possible. Then we went back to the Mariner game, and then they started to claw their way back. And you go, whoa, wait a second here. This is kind of interesting. And then, of course, the Grand Slam and it was just amazing to think how they did against a good baseball team. And that's the thing that's so different about this year with the Mariners. And again, even though I'm a football guy, I think I can talk Mariners too, is what's amazing is they had all the trouble for years with the Astros, and now they're competing and winning games against the Astros. And really, when you look at the bulk of their nine plus game record right now, so much of it is in the division. They've had a dominating force, over the Angels. I mean, they're kind of even with the Angels. They've, certainly done well with Texas.
I think they're
Texas.
6-4 against the A's.
Yeah, 6-4 against the A's. And again, you look at the closing part of the schedule, there's more A's games and more Astros games than there are the other teams in the division. But, I mean, they've done a great job within this division. I think... and that's one of the reasons they're 9 games over .500, which is something we've not seen in a long time.
What was the year? Did they win one game against the Astros? Was that 2019?
I think it was 2019. Yeah. One game.
One game they won. So, John, what I was going to say, that reminded me of last night. Not the impact of the game, but we talked about this earlier. It reminded me of the Green Bay Packer NFC Championship game for the Seahawks back in 2014, because I remember talking to a lot of people that were there that were writers, especially like yourself, that like you had already written that article. I mean, it was like it's a blowout and they're gonna lose this game. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that turnaround last night.
Yeah, but this one was even more dramatic. Now, obviously, when you're talking about a championship game, there's more at stake there because you're talking about Super Bowl or non-Super Bowl. But I think there's some similarities there. But I mean, last night was just incredible.
Man, that was fun. It was so fun, John.
It was.
As a long-suffering Mariner fan, you cling to moments like that.
It made Bob cry.
It almost did. I got choked up when he hit the home with the grand slam. I don't know what happened, John. I got emotional.
Wow. How about
that? No tears came out, but I held them back. Mm-hmm. They were there.
Good job.
Hey, so let's talk a little football. Camp gets underway tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the word is Jamal Adams will report to camp, which I think is great. I think that's, I expect to see him out there not participating, but sort of like Bobby Wagner did years ago, attend meetings, be out there talking to players. I think that as much as it doesn't seem like a big deal, I feel like that is. I think that sends a pretty strong message about how things are going. It's not an adversarial negotiation, at least at this point in it. How do you take it?
I think I take it good. I mean, I know he's in the building today, so that's encouraging. I still think there's a decent chance they can get something done sooner rather than later. Obviously, it's not going to get done in the next 2 or 3 days, but maybe something over the weekend or a little bit later than that, because it's pretty clear that they're going to make him the highest paid safety in NFL history, and I think it's going to be pretty clear that they'll go 16 and maybe a little bit above that. I mean, if he's still thinking 17 or 18, well, they're not going to pay him as much as Bobby Wagner's $18 million a year. I mean, different position. I mean, linebackers get more than safeties. But I think that, he can carve out a really good deal. And of course, they can be, creative as far as the guarantees and all the different things like that. So I think that in the end, they'll get something done. Because, I mean, if you're Jamal Adams, you are upset and asked to be traded from the Jets because they wouldn't work on your deal. It just ignored it. And so now you come to an organization that's going to be willing to pay you, play you, all these different things, a chance to win. And so it's like, why mess it up? I mean, again, for a $500,000 a year or around $1 million a year, yeah, it's nice to have the money, but you're going to be making more than any other safety in NFL history. And again, how much do you want to change the way safeties are being paid now? It's just one where it's just like, hey, just get a little bit above what the 15.25 that Justin Simmons has, and 16 is a pretty good jump. And so I think it's time to get something done.
I saw Mac Jones is wearing number 50 at camp, or with the Patriot camp. Are they just hazing him there because he has the red jersey on over in New England? Is the so far backup quarterback, but do you think that he seems like kind of a goofy guy? Every time I see him, he's laughing and joking around and everything. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but what do you think is going to happen there in New England?
I think they start the season with Cam, just like in Chicago, they start the season with Andy Dalton as QB1 and then see how long it goes. I mean, the one thing that Mac Jones has, and this is one of the things that even though he didn't draft him, Kyle Shanahan liked about him, is that one, he's real smart. Two, he's real accurate. Three, he knows how to work the design routes and all the different things and work within an offense, down and distance, all those different things. And I think, you can just see maybe what it comes down to is he just loves the game of football. Why he's wearing number 50, I have no idea. That's I'm not being a jersey guy or anything like that, or a uniform guy. Not too much I pay attention to. But, I think he's going to be fine because inevitably he's going to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, we talked to somebody down. It was Paul Calvisi, the sideline reporter.
Yeah,
down in Arizona, he said that Zaven Collins kid, the big linebacker out of Tulsa, guys like Brian Urlacher size, like 6'5", 250. They penciled him in, man. He's going to be their starter, and you got him and Isaiah Simmons in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be. They've got some talent down there, and we were talking to him. Just a lot of raw talent, John.
Yeah.
But Arizona, that's going to be interesting to watch some of those young guys down there. Kind of scary for the Seahawks.
Yeah, the only thing is going to be interesting to see is that he had an off the field incident. I think it was a DUI, and so he faces a possible 2-game suspension at some point if he's found guilty. So that's still up in the air right now. But no, I think that a lot of people like that choice totally because again, he's a real talented guy, and you're right, he's big and strong and all that stuff. And by the way, on another Arizona story, it looks like Chandler Jones did report today despite him asking for a trade.
Oh.
Mm. So that's just to avoid fines. It doesn't mean the fences have been
moved. No. He wants more money. And he wants to keep his money.
Well, and do you think he's going to get it from them or he's going to be playing elsewhere?
I don't know. You got to think that they're going to try their best to keep him there, but if not, it's going to be a big loss for them and it's going to probably cost them a couple games.
Hmm. All right.
John, you think Geno Smith, is this the move that or the year that they move on? They got Etling, and then they have Magoo back here. But Geno Smith just seems like
they just worked out who
he's Mr.
Sean Mannion.
Yeah, he's Mr. Irrelevant, but like he's just as solid as can be. I did not hear about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they worked out Sean Mannion the other day.
Okay.
No, I think it. I think,
Oregon State guy.
Yeah. But I think they like Geno Smith because his body type is very similar to Russell Wilson's. His style is very similar to Russell Wilson. And he fits in very well as far as the quarterback room and anything else. But like anything else, you want to see about other quarterbacks and take a look at other players and things of that nature. So, but I think in the end, I mean, they'll probably stay with Geno Smith. Again, open competition is always there, but I think that they're comfortable enough with Geno as the backup because at least for the most part, backup quarterbacks aren't getting a chance to play. And he's now been around for a couple years. You don't have to hurry up and teach him new things.
Hey, John, what's the deal with Randall Cobb? Apparently, I was just looking at his number. He's been a good receiver. Mm-hmm. He's only had one year you go. That was a great year.
Yeah.
The other years, he's been, he's all right. But apparently Aaron Rodgers loves him, and he's he's expected to be back with the Green Bay Packers any time now at the urging of Aaron Rodgers. What do you know about this move and why Rodgers in particular loves? I mean, I get that he likes him. He's familiar with him. But when you really look at his numbers, you go, he's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what the big thing is that after being starved for receivers in the last couple of years, he put in a demand. He says, "Okay, I'll come to camp. I'll probably put a trade clause in my contract for next year. So, I mean, I won't be a Packer. We're going to break this team up next year, most likely. But I want to go for it. And, you know, like last year, they didn't give him any help at the wide receiver position. And so he had Davante Adams and a bunch of third and fourth receivers. And so now it's like, hey, I want a guy I'm familiar with, a guy that I can work with. And let's get Cobb over here. Because, you know, Adams has always been the one to get the receiving, you know, get the yards and everything else and the pass catches and the targets and all that stuff. So I think this is just a matter that, you know, he wanted a comfort level. And you can see it's going to happen because, you know, Chicago made this stupid move of trading Anthony Miller, the wide receiver, to Houston for, you know, I think it was a fifth round pick, and they get a seventh rounder back. So now they're a little weaker at the wide receiver position, which doesn't make any sense. But, Houston, you know, they got a receiver to replace Randall Cobb. But I think the only thing slowing this up right now, he's got, I think, an $8.5 million cap, and the Packers have cap issues right now. So they have to kind of work through that and see, you know, what they can get done. But ultimately, in the next couple of days, Cobb will end up in Green Bay.
All right, Professor, we did our top 20. And we finally got down to the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just take the first two out of it because pretty much everybody has Russell Wilson. Well, maybe you would. Who would be your second? Who would be your second most impactful, best player you think on this team? The Seattle Seahawks. Wilson, number
one. I'd say Bobby Wagner.
You got Bobby? Okay.
Yeah.
How about after that?
After that, I think you then go with DK Metcalf, then maybe Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
Then I don't know if you switch off and go to maybe Dwayne Brown, but yeah. You know, if not Tyler Lockett.
Yep. Oh, well, that's what Bob has. Well, we both had Russ and Adams, and then Bob had Bobby, Dwayne, and DK Metcalf with Tyler Lockett at six.
Mm-hmm.
I was Russell, Adams, Carson at number three,
yeah.
DK number four, Lockett number five. I went all offense. But, I mean, the big thing is – with Carson, you know, that's just if he's a full go, I think he's a really good running back. I don't want to say he's as good as anybody in the league, but he's right up there. I think he's going to be very valuable this year, and hopefully we're going to be able to see him for all 16. Although that's very rare, right? I mean, I think he played in all 16 games, but other than that, Derrick Henry, I think, was the only one running back.
Yeah, I think there was only one starting running back that played in every game. And, you know, that's just the nature of a running back. You're going to miss some games. But what you like is there's now so few 1,000-yard seasons anymore. Now, obviously, it's going to jump this year because there's 17 games, not 16. But I think, what was it? There's only 8 or 9 last year that had 1,000-yard seasons. And so when he's healthy enough, you know, Chris Carson's already had 2. And if he stays healthy this year, that'll be 3. And that's pretty – I mean, you're up there among the elite running backs in the league. I mean, no, you're not Alvin Kamara. But remember, Alvin's not big for the rushing yards. He's bigger for the pass catches and, you know, the big plays when necessary running the football. I mean, Dalvin Cook gets the big running plays. Derrick Henry gets the big running plays. But you don't have a lot of guys right now that are 1,000-yard guys in this league. I mean, what, James Robinson down in Jacksonville is an undrafted rookie, ended up going over 1,000 yards, and the great Urban Meyer comes in and drafts a running back in the first round.
710-710 is the Mac and Jack's text line for those of you that have questions for John, and those of you texting in about the Mariners, we're aware of them. They made a move. We will be talking about it in the next segment.
What move did they make?
I'm pissed, John.
What?
They traded Kendall Graveman to the Houston Astros.
Oh, no.
Along with Rafael Montero, which I don't care about.
Yeah.
They get an infielder who's hitting .211 and a 37-year-old reliever in Joe Smith.
Oh, great.
I don't quite understand what's happening there. I'm going to need somebody to explain why this is a good deal, because as I see it, it stinks.
I don't like it either. No. I mean, Graveman, I like. I mean,
everybody likes him because he's really good.
Well, maybe they figure that Montero will offset Graveman, and so.
God.
But remember, I mean, he was designated for assignment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, there's no value there. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, if anything, it's like they'd be 11 or 12 games and maybe more over .500 were it not for Rafael Montero.
Yeah, so it's they're getting infielder Abraham Toro and right-handed pitcher Joe Smith in exchange for Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero.
Any idea what Joe Smith's velocity is at the age of 37?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I'm just looking at his career stats, and he's got an ERA so far this year of 7.48.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't like it, John.
Ah, yeah.
Not
understand.
Pleased with this at all.
I'm up there with you.
Yeah.
Dave, what's your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to miss Graveman. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Trade him to the Astros?
Was Toros one of the lighter hitting?
Yeah, he's hitting .211. He's got like 6 home runs.
Yeah.
He's a young guy. He's 24, but.
Well, I was looking in their lineup last night. They had 2 hitters, 300 plus, 5 hitters over .250, and then there were the other two, and.
Yeah, he's hitting .211 with a .287 on base percentage, 6 home runs.
Yikes.
He's 24. He'll be 25 in December.
But under player control, under team control.
I guess, and maybe there's an upside to him that we're not familiar with, and I just not a fan of the move.
No, I can understand.
We just got done talking about how absolutely brilliant this bullpen has been, how crucial they've been. If not for the bullpen, this team wouldn't be having these conversations about them being a game behind the second wild card spot, 9 games over .500, and you just traded your best reliever to a team we all hate in your division.
All right, that's it. We're talking football the rest of the day.
God. I demand an explanation, John. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, look, here's the thing that we've seen from Jerry and Scott. They've seen things that other people haven't this year. They've built a really good farm system. Did you see that last night, the graphic, how some of the guys moved up? Noelvi Marte moved up a few slots.
Number 10, I think.
Yeah, and, you still had Kelnick in there, Julio Rodriguez. So,
wait, what did they have, like 4 in the top 15 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
So Julio Rodriguez, number 3, Jared Kelnick, 4, Marte up 10, or up 6 from 16 to number 10, George Kirby up from number 79 to number 14. So they're seeing things that we're not seeing. Bob, you're going to love Abraham Toro. Okay?
All right. We'll see.
I heard that he's the guy that would clang the garbage cans, too. I did not hear that. I'm just kidding.
Don't start that rumor. No. Don't start that rumor. John, I wanted to ask people earlier, and then we got into the Mariners conversation, but of everything going into camp, is there one thing that stands out that you want to see more, whether it's a player, whether it's a group of players? The offense, what it looks like. What are you expecting to see in camp or looking forward to most?
Well, I want to see Dwayne Estridge and see how he adapts to being a third receiver. Certainly want to see how that goes. Like to see how they use Kerry Hyder, because I think he was a very good acquisition. Certainly the cornerback situation with DJ Reed and Akello Witherspoon, see how well they go and see if Witherspoon does well with the footwork. I mean, again, at least he learned a little bit when he was in San Francisco, but now I think a chance to escalate it. Definitely want to take a look to see how Rashad Penny bounces back from his knee problems and how that goes. How it looks with Gabe Jackson and Damian Lewis at the guard position. So there's a lot of things to look at.
I'll tell you what, on defense, you look at the three positions, DB, linebacker, D-line. Now, the interior, not so much, but as far as the pass rushers, I mean, they've got a ton of guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then, if you throw Daryl Taylor into the mix of possibly playing outside linebacker with
Boy, Cody he's the Barton. Wild card, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
No idea what to expect from him or how they're going to use him.
Right.
Outside of that, solid.
I would love it if he's an outside pass rusher. If he can play linebacker, great, but... with that. And then you look at corner. I mean, even a guy like Pierre Desir, you've got guys that have been around, Akilah Witherspoon, Trey Brown. I put him in my top 20, John. I think, he's the only rookie I had in there. So, yeah, I think it's just going to be, that's going to be a battle going on out there because I feel like it could go to anybody. It could be Trey Flowers. Flowers could be your starter next year.
Yeah. Also, another name to watch, too, and now we're going to be able to watch him all through camp, is Alden Smith.
Yeah.
Greg Bell of the News Tribune did a nice job, finally getting a hold of the people down in Louisiana and finding out that, why that July 14th trial date was being passed over and blown away. Now we find they did move it to August 24th. So that allows him to be there through the entire camp. And so, you know, it'll be into the preseason games and things of that nature by the 24th. But, you know, now you get a chance to see Alden Smith, which could be another addition, a very good addition to that line, and also put him in a position where, I mean, he has a decent chance to get into the season. But the big thing is he's going to get into camp.
Yeah, and Dave and I were talking about this yesterday, that this team doesn't have that guy, that one guy that you're looking at. You know, we were talking about Chandler Jones and looking at his year by, I mean, he had ridiculous number, double-digit sacks every year except for last year with the Cardinals. But the Seahawks, it feels like collectively, might do really well. If you're looking at, you know, Dunlap, maybe he gets you 8, and maybe Alton Robinson gets you 5, and maybe, you know, you start chipping away and going, okay, this guy will get you 5. You can expect maybe 6 here, and Alden Smith's sort of a wild card. But it feels like collectively this could be a really good team when it comes to that stat in particular.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, because, again, it's like even last year, despite that slow start on defense, you know, once Carlos Dunlap got here, then all of a sudden the sack numbers went up higher than anybody expected. And so I think that's going to be a real positive because, again, you know, Dunlap is back. I'm sure that, I think he's going to have a good season because he's going to be motivated and everything else. And again, we'll see where Alden Smith fits in and, you know, where Daryl Taylor fits in, whether it's going to be, you know, more as a defensive end, more as a strong side linebacker, but we know it's going to be both.
Boy, Chandler Jones, is he underrated? Oh. Since 2012, I think any player entering since 2012, he has more.
Or 2015, was that the number they gave us?
Or was it 15?
No.
I thought.
Yeah,
I
maybe
remember.
It was since 2015, because that year he had 12.5, then 11, then 17, then 13, then 19. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, I remember at the end of 2019, he came up here, and I think he sacked Russell 3 times and hit him another 2. So, yeah, hopefully.
He is a bit underrated, it feels like, when we talk about the great set, whether we're talking Aaron Donald or Watt or J.D. any Watt, of the Watt brothers. You know, there are a lot of names that get mentioned before Chandler Jones. Mm-hmm. And then you look at his numbers and go, my goodness, this guy, outside of last year with the torn bicep, he's been ridiculous. John, good stuff. We will. Are we talking tomorrow? I know we've got an hour show tomorrow.
I hope. I mean, because, you know, it's with the baseball and everything else and training camp. But, yeah, in fact, if practice ends the time that I think it is, I mean, I'll be back here at home. And so we can definitely do that because, you know, I have that long 13-14 minute walk over to camp.
Okay, we'll get it figured out tomorrow.
Yeah,
he doesn't call it a 15 minute walk. It's a 13 to 14.
Yeah,
there we go.
13.63.
Pick up the pace.
Thanks, John.
Okay, thanks.
See you, John.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, the Mariners have made a move. And it's not one that I love. On the surface, somebody's going to have to talk me off the ledge next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.